This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662. Or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, it's time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. With us today, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. Of course, she's our regular contributor to Q&A with Layla, and she's our Hoffman Center nutritionist. How you doing, Layla?
All right, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good, good. I'm cheered by some statistics that I just got about this podcast. This podcast keeps growing and growing by leaps and bounds. I'm trying to pull up these statistics. I shared them with you. And what it suggests is that every single month that we compile statistics, we have yet another record number of subscribers, people listening in. I think it was something up to like 180,000 downloads for the month of, the last recorded month, which is October. And that's continued growth. I have the exact statistics here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Okay.
That is fabulous.
Okay. October podcast metrics. This is from the people who help us with putting those podcasts, editing them, and putting them up on the internet, and helping to design and manage our website at drhoffman.com. Subject of the email, October podcast metrics. October brought another surge, even bigger than the one we experienced in August. You'll recall that July to August, we added 11,937 downloads. There was a surge from 129,000 to 141,000. In September, we maintained that surge. So there was pretty much, September was flat. It was kind of even. But, you know, I think what happens in September is people come back from summer vacation, and they put the kids to school and kind of getting back into the work routine. So maintaining is actually good. But in October, we surged again, adding 18,075 downloads to the base total, totaling nearly 160,000 downloads for the month, looking year over year. And then we're comparing. Looking year over year, that's an increase of 42,000 from October 2015. So, you know, we're very appreciative of you listeners who continue to utilize this podcast. You know, I meet people coming to the Hoffman Center as patients who say that they are devoted listeners, and it's wonderful to get feedback. So thanks for sharing, and thanks for participating. And frankly, you know, this is really what drives the podcast is the demand, because if we you know, we're sitting here, like we're putting this out here, and it was like, nobody cares, right? Nobody's interested in this information. It'd be like, this is an exercise in futility. You know, it's like we're just talking to ourselves. But there's lots of people enjoying this. So let's, now that we got that cleared up, let's get to questions. We usually have a little preamble of you know, something in the news.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to say that this week has been eclipsed by the election. There's a lot of stuff going on on the election front, and I think people are a little distracted, and the science news is not earth-shaking. There's some news on the Obamacare front, or as some people prefer the term, the Affordable Care Act, but that's become a bit of an oxymoron as, you know, insurance premiums are prepared to surge. And it now appears that 20% of doctors are opting out of Obamacare plans because they find that, the payments are too low, or you're not getting they're not getting reimbursements expeditiously. That's often what happens is you perform the service and you have to wait months and months sometimes before you're authorized to receive reimbursement. And for some doctors, that's just, you know, they can't deal with that. So, you know, I got
to
say
that to pay the bills that way.
Yeah. Not gratified by the direction that medicine is taking. I think that natural medicine is the solution for our healthcare crisis. That's the premise of this program. But, you know, you need a regular doctor. I mean, I needed regular doctors when I broke my hip 10 years ago. We need access to medical care, and we need it to be affordable. We need drugs that are affordable, too. Unfortunately, exorbitantly expensive. And, you know, I talked to people in Europe. I was asking them when I was in Belgium recently how they felt about their health care, and they really felt good about their health care. They have access to doctors. They pay a very small copay when they see a doctor. They pay very little for medication. You know, if it's a generic, it's like $5. If it's, you know, something that's a brand name, they pay more. But then I asked them about their taxes.
I was going to ask, is it socialized medicine?
I ask about
what's
how
your tax rate? 65%?
It's something like that. If you're making a lot of money, but if the ordinary citizens pay maybe, you know, 40% in taxes. And then, of course, every time you buy something over there, there's a VAT tax of, you know, double-digit percentage that goes into. So, you know, you kind of have to have a choice, make a choice. You know, do you want to self-insure? Do you want to be taken care of by, you know, government programs? That's what this whole, you know, election has been about, you know, philosophical battle about the role of government in so many areas. So, all right, let's get past that. What are some of the questions that we have today?
We've got actually a question from Kristen, who's a fellow RD. And she says, this may be a podcast question for you and Dr. H. There seems to be an increase in mucus for patients with leaky gut. I understand that this has to do with our mucosal barriers, immune function. Can you elaborate on this in terms of our mucosal linings and how leaky gut affects this? I think, in a word, Dr. Hoffman, inflammation.
Yeah. Well, you know,
inflammation more than anything.
Yeah, clearly. So, you know, what is mucus after all? I mean, a simple, you know, explanation of what mucus is, and this is a cruel trick that little boys sometimes play with snails and slugs. But if you pour salt on a snail or slug, they'll just elaborate a lot of mucus in an effort to protect themselves from this chemical insult. And that's basically what people do in relation to any insult, whether it's an external insult. I mean, you know, if you have smoke inhalation, you'll create a lot of mucus. If you have eye irritation, you'll create a lot of secretions. You know, if you have gastrointestinal irritation, I talked to some of my patients who have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, and they say they can sort of gauge their degree of disease sometimes by how much mucus is present in the toilet bowl, because it's, you know, it's a sign of something is not happy in the gastrointestinal tract. So with leaky gut, you know, what is it? It's increased intestinal permeability. Why does that occur? It occurs because of some degree of inflammation in the intestine due to maybe a food intolerance or a bacterial insult, perhaps a fungal challenge like candida in the gastrointestinal tract. And then
bad lifestyle, bad diet, too many NSAIDs. Yeah.
NSAIDs will do it, absolutely. And so what will happen is the little gap junctions that are between the cells will become permeable. They'll become portals of entry for harmful bacterial byproducts and also food antigens that can traverse the intestinal wall, get into the bloodstream, travel to remote parts of the body, the joints, the brain, you know, the liver, the lungs, will go throughout the body. The result is mucus. I mean, mucus is a symptom of some underlying irritation.
Right, right. It's like blowing your nose when you have a cold or allergy as well. Same kind of concept, pretty much. All right.
Right.
Thank you, Kristen.
And by the way, we can test for leaky gut. There is a test that we do. You swallow a liquid and you render us a urine sample. And that will speak to the issue of whether you have abnormalities in your intestinal permeability.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrific test. And, you know, what's interesting, a lot of patients and clients will come to us even asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, many practitioners say, as you would agree, Dr. Hoffman, that so much, so many autoimmune conditions may begin with a leaky gut, or a leaky gut would certainly be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I recently did an article, some of you may have seen it if you've subscribed to our newsletter, about the effects of wheat on the gut in particular,
yeah.
But beyond the gut, that it may create leaky gut. And it may then allow certain constituents of wheat, which are highly inflammatory, to travel throughout the body and create havoc. And so you don't even have to have celiac disease for this to happen. Of course, if you have celiac disease, it's much more profound.
Right, right. That and those, what was it, the amylase trypsin inhibitors?
Yes.
That are problematic with wheat. So,
ATIs.
Yeah.
ATIs.
ATIs.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like some kind of a sport utility vehicle.
Exactly.
ATI.
You
That's
read,
ATV, isn't it?
Right. An all-terrain vehicle. You read my mind. I'm thinking like,
terrain.
It's like, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. We have another email. We have an email from Kelly. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I love listening to your program. Thank you, Kelly. I attempt to follow your nutritional advice daily and exercise daily as well, but no one is perfect. This being said, though I eat consciously all day with healthy food choices, after dinner, I've been habitually falling into a craving for a large bowl of ice cream. I would like
Wait,
to know
that's
your
the
thoughts.
First time I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
Goodness, that is so weird.
Oh, my. Why is that occurring?
Yeah.
I would like to know your thoughts on this addicting treat and any ideas for curbing this craving, if needed. Thank you so much.
Well, you want to give a little discourse on why it might be that – here, look, this is the essential conundrum is that, you know, you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat your fill. And basically, you've consumed enough calories – you've had a balanced meal.
You're no longer hungry.
You're full.
Physically hungry.
But then
you're
they,
full.
Yeah. They present the dessert menu, and all of a sudden you have this, you know, inordinate hankering for dessert or ice cream. What's up with that,
right.
Layla? What's going on there?
Well, either they bring the dessert menu, or you have, you know, a pint of ice cream stashed in your freezer,
right.
And it happens to be calling out to you.
Yep.
And why is it that we crave things like that, but we don't crave broccoli the same way?
Right.
Or something like that. Well, dairy is a big one, but we're really talking here about sugar.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. Sugar
right.
is really the most addictive substance on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream between the fat, the texture, the mouthfeel,
right.
and you couple that with the sugar, and it's just this unbelievable sensation in your mouth.
And maybe,
on top
you know,
of that,
just let me throw in, mm-hmm. there are what are called casomorphins in
yes.
dairy.
Yeah.
And dairy mm-hmm. mixed with sugar is a really highly palatable addictive substance. And that's
right.
why one of the reasons why sometimes we take people off of dairy just to curb their food intake.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the same kind of thing for people who aren't necessarily craving ice cream, but they crave cheese.
Yes.
It's the same thing, those casomorphins, because they're hitting our opioid circuitry in
yes.
the same way, and we feel good. It tastes good. We feel better. We calm down. We decompress. But the best way to deal with any craving at all is abstinence. If we say to Kelly, yeah, have your bowl of ice cream, don't have a large one, have a small one. But if this is truly problematic, and for many people it is with
mm-hmm.
sugar,
yeah.
it's the same thing as telling the alcoholic, yeah, go ahead, just have one drink,
yep.
you know, or the drug addict, just have
right.
one hit or
right.
fix or whatever of what you're doing. It doesn't work.
I agree.
It doesn't work that way.
You have to get it
so,
off the table. And look, I mean, it sounds really so puritanical and draconian on our parts to say this, but, you know, just take it off the table.
You know, Yeah, the reason it sounds draconian to anybody is, but this is food. What are you talking about? What do you mean dairy is doing this to me, or wheat or gluten is doing this to me or causing me to feel this way, or potatoes are causing me to feel this kind of euphoria? It's actually true.
Yeah.
Yes, it's all legal and fine and it's classified as food, but, you know, to what end? So.
Right. So the other thing I would point out is the paradox is that you've eaten a big meal, and then why are you so hungry? Why do you want something else? And the reason is that a meal, as you well know, Layla, triggers an insulin response. And just as your blood sugar is going up, your insulin is kicking in big time. And within a few minutes, you may have a real signal that your blood sugar is declining towards the end of the meal, and that you need something to stabilize your blood sugar. So you're on a blood sugar roller coaster, and that's what that's the role of dessert. Now, I have to say that, I have sweet cravings. There's no question.
We all do.
And what I've noticed, I mean, some genetically to a greater extent than others, and some by virtue of habit or discipline, maybe less. People who have high insulin have enormous cravings for sweets, because their insulin is out of control. So, you tame your insulin, you'll tame your cravings to some extent, although they won't go away. But I noticed that I'm doing this Whole30 diet now. And, prior to this podcast, I just had lunch, which was, I reheated in the microwave a leftover hamburger, and I had a bowl of soup. The soup had some potatoes in it, so it had some carbs, but it was, chicken soup. It was leek potato soup. So it was kind of a mixture of, some fat and some protein and some carbs. At the end of it, I have to say I had great equanimity. I wasn't looking for that, chocolate bar, or I wasn't looking for, a sweet dessert, not even a piece of fruit, because it was kind of a balanced meal, and I'm not on a blood sugar roller coaster. At least I've kind of recovered from being in Belgium, where there's a chocolate eatery on every corner, we had to try
some
of
those Belgian waffles.
I didn't do any of those.
Oh, good for you!
Yeah, I don't know. I had all kinds of other delicacies there, but I said kind of like, I don't know. It's like, is it worth it? I'm probably going to get all kinds of congestion and, feel good. I was trying to, maintain my stamina during this trip. But I did have Belgian beer. I went to a brewery.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So, Kelly, our advice to you would be, A, to stop, even though you're craving, stop. Because the more that you're able to stop the habit, sooner or later, and sooner rather than later, those cravings will begin to diminish, because those cravings are actually false hunger. As you just described, Dr. Hoffman, having erratic blood sugar. So beyond that, helpful supplements for those people who are just craving no matter what. Chromium is very, very helpful to help stabilize your blood sugar, along with a good diet. And glutamine, L-glutamine, has been shown in the scientific literature to reduce cravings for sugar. Now, we're talking about taking quite a bit of glutamine. We're talking about taking, 9 capsules a day. That's about 1,500 milligrams 3 times a day away from food. And even if you're, caught mid-craving, take some glutamine, right? And then wait about 15 minutes and go eat that leftover chicken you didn't finish at dinner. If you are still hungry.
Do you know that just that time out is a pretty good thing? Because I notice that sometimes, I'm just rushing from my meal to, contemplate a dessert. And, what I'll do is I'll just say, look, I'll make a cup of coffee, black coffee, no sugar, and let me sip this. And, the feeling will abate usually after, 15, 30 or 45 minutes, and you'll equilibrate. You'll normalize your blood sugar, because the body doesn't want to go into a hypoglycemic crash, and it will.
Exactly.
You'll equilibrate.
Yeah, and for many of us, by the time we finish dinner and we're just going on to dessert without any kind of a break, we have to remind ourselves it takes 20 to 30 minutes for the brain to get the message that we're full,
That's
we
true.
Are indeed full.
Yes.
And that's why by the time we finish dessert, we're on the couch for a mini coma.
Yeah.
After overstuffing and overdoing and so forth.
We eat too fast.
We shouldn't feel that way after a meal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kelly, stop. The same way we would tell any sugar addict or alcoholic or drug addict, stop, that's really the first thing to do. And what I think works really well is just don't have it available in the house.
Layla, is that the reason we have no patients on the schedule for tomorrow? Our schedule's blank. It's not a very popular.
Really?
This whole concept of abstinence is just not catching on. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I was about to say the last time I looked, I was like, we have a full schedule tomorrow. Okay.
You're about to become the least popular medical nutritionist on the East Coast with your abstinence program here.
Oh, yeah, but it does work.
No,
and
I know.
We have to be
honest. There are no gimmicks.
We do.
Yeah.
There are really no gimmicks. And I hear from people who have come through that tunnel of craving, of intractable craving and everything, and when they finally done it, when they finally got through it, they're like, I can't believe I don't crave anymore.
Right.
I didn't believe you when you told me I wouldn't crave after, say, a few weeks of not having this food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, many are feeling so much better.
Right.
I mean, even smaller symptoms of things they didn't have, you know, a little headache, a little joint pain, a little something. And these things magically disappear. These symptoms, these malaises magically disappear. And it has everything to do with removing that offending food.
Indeed. So
yeah.
We stand by that principle.
Absolutely.
It's a core principle within our practice, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Kelly, thank you for your question.
Do we have a quick question?
Best of luck.
Because we usually pause around this time.
Do we have a quick question? We actually do.
Good.
Let's see here. This comes from Alice. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a listener. Thank you for all that you do. I would like to know what brands and doses of probiotics my two grandsons, ages 2 months and 2 years old, should be taking. Well, we do like this brand, actually, it's Springboard Supplements for Growing Bodies, and mm-hmm. FloraBoost is a nice probiotic for kids. You can get it at drhoffman.com. FloraBoost is terrific for kids, and basically you take a scoop, you put it in water,
mm-hmm.
or probably juice, but water is probably going to be a little bit better.
Right.
I think for the two-month-old, Dr. Hoffman, you want to weigh in on if you even think it's appropriate.
It is. You know, I have a situation in our family. We have an almost 1-year-old. And, you know, we don't give him like multivitamins or anything like that, but we're giving him two things. We're putting vitamin D in his baby bottle and his formula. And now he's eating solid food. So we put in the solid food. And we admix it with probiotics. Those are the two things that a kid needs. The vitamin D, I think, is we actually give a pretty substantial dose. I think he's getting 1,500 international mm-hmm. units. But that's a really good dose for kids. And I got to say, knock wood.
Knocking wood.
This kid, I think he had like one little cold. You know, he is so balanced and healthy. Also, he's getting all organic food. He's on a paleo diet. He hasn't had any bread, grains. You know, he's not getting any, chicken fingers or any, you know, junky kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All the food is organic and natural. Uh-huh. And,
a beautiful start to life.
Yeah. And he eats
everything.
He has a very, unfinicky palate. He is just, you know, he loves his veggies and, you know, eats all kinds of, you know, peas and, you know, broccoli mm-hmm. and all kinds of things that I don't know.
Wonderful.
Generally, it takes a more mature palate to appreciate. But you know, we start them young, and they will take to it.
That's great. You know, it's I believe with babies, it's also what's available. It's what the parents are eating, and once you get their palate trained that this is food, and this is how we eat, and this is what we like, they learn that this is what we like.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Now, getting back to the FloraBoost probiotic, the scoop is definitely, I think, appropriate for a 2-year-old, maybe half a scoop. It's got a proprietary blend of lactobacillus species. Let me name the species of lactobacillus. There's acidophilus, there's rhamnosus, there's cassi, there's also Streptococcus thermophilus, and bifidobacterium species, bifidum, longum. These are all good.
The bifido is particularly important for kids. Yeah. Bifido seems to be a species that's particularly crucial to cultivate in young children. So
wonderful. Yep. Wonderful. And I imagine for a two-month-old, instead of a scoop, I'm wondering if maybe starting with a teaspoon or two teaspoons, you know, I imagine a two-month-old is not eating any kind of solid food yet. Maybe they're still being breastfed or something, or taking formula, maybe putting a little bit of that in the formula or in their pumped milk or...
That's pretty reasonable.
You know. Yeah. Thank you, Alice, for your question.
Great. All right. So this is a good point at which to pause because we generally divide our podcast into two parts. So, Layla, give us a preview as to what we will tackle in part two.
What can I take for my severe cervical disc disease?
Okay. We'll tackle that when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And we'll be right back with part two.